Robbie Romeiser here. I'm excited about today's program, so excited, in fact, that I've included over 20 minutes of bonus material for you after the on-air portion of Career Callings finishes playing. I trust you will be blessed, as I have been, by today's featured guest.
You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
I have got so much to cover, so let's dig right into it. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, where our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now also available via podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Also available at careercallings.net/radio. And if you've been blessed by the Career Callings radio show and like to buy stuff on Amazon.com, please consider shopping on Amazon.com from our careercallings.net/resources page. Career Callings is an Amazon.com affiliate, so each purchase you make by linking to Amazon from our resources page will go to support the show. That's careercallings.net/resources. I'm excited to introduce my featured guest today, who is Herb Epley. And Herb was raised in an entrepreneurial family and got a degree from Gardner Webb University and pastored some churches there for a short time in his early career. And then shortly after getting out of the pastorate, he became a marketing expert, if I can say it that way, having his hands in several different businesses over the years, started an Amway business, a very successful Amway business that began in 1985. Rising to the level of Emerald status. And I know just enough about Amway to know that that's a fantastic testament to Herb's work ethic, because it's hard to become an Emerald in that organization. So kudos to Herb. And then also he's now just as much involved in helping companies with their group health insurance plans and also helping seniors with their Medicare insurance with his association and through his association with Drexel and Associates as an independent associate with the firm there. So, Herb, welcome to the program. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing very good. Thank you, sir. Robbie, it's just a treat to be on your show. What a privilege.
Fantastic, man. Well, I'm glad to have you. And I know the folks listening today are going to be very much blessed by the stories that you're going to tell us, because I know we had a conversation at a recent event, and I was blessed by hearing what you shared with me, which is why I wanted you to share it with the folks that listen to the program. So let's start by asking you this question. Kind of tell us about a little bit where you are today in your career and what you're doing right now to feed your family. And of course, feel free to tell us about your family when you answer that question.
Sure. Thank you. Well, I'm married to the lovely Susie, and we met at Gardner Webb and have been married a number of years. We have two married daughters, and we have two grandchildren and one on the way. And we've lived here in Spartanburg since 83, and just we're going to stay. This is the greatest area that we could ever imagine. And plus, the grandbabies keep coming, so we're staying. But we started a business here in 85 because I wasn't making enough at a regular job, but I was already in marketing for the Electrolux company, and then I started my own business affiliated with the Amway Corporation, and we built that so that Susie could stay home with our babies. And eventually, about 1994, I was able to leave corporate America to be my own boss full time. Had our Amway business on the side, and it became profitable enough I was able to leave the computer supply industry. So we're very thankful. Today, our Amway business is pretty much on autopilot, and we enjoy the residual income from that. But we also, I love helping seniors with their Medicare insurance. I was taught that business by a college friend, and then another college friend introduced me to some group health care plans, and just love the challenge of the business world, and love making a difference helping these companies, but also love bringing more finances into the kingdom of God.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I know that through all that, through your history, there's been several twists and turns that have kind of led you to where you are today. Tell us how the Lord has shown you how he wants you to use your career to impact other people for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, I watched my dad, who is a, he's in marketing for his company, and I watched him, and I guess I sort of have his personality. He doesn't meet many strangers. And, when I was pastoring, I loved it. I still love to teach and preach. But I also found that when I did my financial burnout, it was pastoring a little tiny church that really couldn't afford to pay me. We did a financial burnout. So I had to go back into the business world, and it was very natural for me to relate to people and help them meet their needs through what I marketed. So I really started following my natural giftings there. And like I said, I still love assisting my pastor and speaking and preaching every chance I get. But my natural giftings are I think business, I relate to people well in business. And he has guided that. There have been certain periods of time that what I was doing in the way of marketing sort of dried up. So he had to lead me over to something else. But those crossroads experiences became tremendous opportunities for prayer time. Whenever you feel that you're coming to the end of a season and you go sincerely to your knees and you're an earnest seeker of his perfect plan for you at that point, then he'll open a doorway. Coolest saying I've heard lately is when a door's not open, go ahead and praise him and pray in the hallway. So we found out that by following him and not, you know, not really leaning on my own strength and my own abilities. Of course, I've always had the tendency to do that. Oh, God, I got this. You know, thanks for the idea. Now I'm going to take it and run it. I've always done so much better when I kept myself humble before him and let him guide me. I've started several businesses. I started an advertising company that I sold to my daughter. I helped my other daughter get in business for herself. Our Amway business is, you know, still here, and our marketing insurance. I love this love business because it connects me with people. And when I'm connected to people in the terms of business, I inevitably get a chance to share my faith with them or just show Christ's values and his integrity in the world. And that's what I'm all about.
Amen. Well, that's great. That's great. Now, let me ask you this question. One of the things you were saying in that, Herb, that caught my ear was you mentioned about having some, I think you labeled it, crossroads times in your life where you had to kind of really search about or try to figure out what the Lord was trying to teach you. And what I'd like to do is ask you this question, kind of drill down on maybe the crossroads issue or crossroads time that is the most memorable to you, maybe was the one at least that stands out in your mind the most right now. Take us to that time when you were just wondering what the Lord wanted you to do next with your vocation, and how did he clear the smoke from that issue? How did he clear the smoke from that mm-hmm. room, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I am being the entrepreneur I've always been. In the early 2000s, I started about 1999, 2000, I started investing in homes, and I was flipping properties and was, you know, I really enjoyed that. It was very gratifying. It became profitable. And during that time, I had a chance to purchase a piece of property that I was going to develop. And not long after that, the bottom fell out of the property market, and what could have been a very profitable venture turned out to be a financial disaster. I lost a six-figure income on these bad investments, and that wasn't something I was used to. I was used to being very successful at everything, but I realized it really wasn't God's plan or God's fault for me buying those properties in the first place. I just looked at what was good on paper, but I didn't really pray about it. Mm. And because of that, I ended up, you know, wasting a bunch of time and about $150,000 on, you know, property losses. And it really brought me to the point that, Herb, you know, you're an okay guy, but you don't know the future. So you really, really need to submit all of your decisions and your plans to the Lord, because inevitably the Lord would have said, no, that's not the right thing. And I would have, you know, I would have stayed out of that expensive lesson, of course. The lesson has profited me, but it wasn't something that he set up. It was something that he made good out of after the fact. So anyway, but that brought me to a period of time that we were paying payments on 5 properties at once, including our own home. And that really brought me to the point of bankruptcy. And I just really got just very, very focused on prayer and praise and seeking the Lord. And he brought an idea to me, that it was just sovereign, and it bailed us out of that tremendous hole that I had dug us in. And, you know, God's grace just overwhelmed our need, and it was so good. And then we turned around, we grew that business, we sold that business to our daughter, and it's a profitable company today because of them especially. But that type of humbling experience, that when I realized that I didn't have everything, I didn't have all the know-how, I didn't have all the gifts or the cool, or I wasn't, you know, suave enough to control my own destiny, that, you know, I really need to submit every decision to him, is the way we do things now. We have some very large projects going on, and I still today try to get in there and work. And no doubt about it, business requires work. Business requires solid decision making. It requires, you know, seeking quality counselors. It's called being wise and et cetera. But ultimately, bottom line, having God's guidance on business decisions and business openings and business opportunities is far more important than just relying on my own wisdom or skill.
I'll tell you, there's such a great lesson in that we just need to realize that, you know, a man deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so many times we devise our own way, and the Lord has to smack, what was it? Some people like to say gobsmack us. God has to gobsmack us to make us turn in the direction we're supposed to go for him. You learned the hard way, and we can learn from you the easy way, that the best thing to do is ask the Lord for the direction on the front end and not have to get gobsmacked, in order to go in the right direction. So thank you so much for that. I'm just curious, what was the idea? What was the business that you created and eventually sold to your daughter that got you out of that mess?
We started Epley & Associates Directories, which is a company that coordinates the employee discount programs for Spartanburg Regional Hospital, Greenville Hospital, Greenville County Schools, Anderson Hospital, 2 hospitals in Columbia. There are about 18 hospitals and school districts across North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee that now get the employee groups get discounts from businesses in the local communities, and Epley & Associates Directories makes that a very effective partnership for all. You know, the employees get more discounts, the businesses in the area get more business from the employees of that particular school or hospital, and the hospital gets more morale and gets more, you know, mileage out of their HR activities kind of thing. So it was something the Lord just brought to me sovereignly in regards to Spartanburg Regional. He sort of thumped me on the chest and said, hey, pay attention, I'm about to do something for you. And the doors opened, and one project led to another. And then eventually we sold that business to my daughter and her husband, and they've made quite an enterprise out of it.
Back for more in a minute with Herb Epley on the Career Callings Radio Show. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a healthcare home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you.
We are Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to Career Callings Radio. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649 or Robbie at careercallings.net. R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Let's dive right back into our chat with our featured guest, Herb Epley. Take us to another time in your life when you had a low point in your career journey. That was just honestly, admittedly, downright depressing. And take us to that point. Paint us a picture. Help us feel like we're at the movies and we're crying into our popcorn as we see the pain you're going through. tell us, take us to that place and describe to us what happened.
Well, sure. And I guess the second most challenging time in our lives was when Susie and I had been married for several years, and we were pastoring a little church and up in North Carolina outside of Raleigh. And it was almost cute and funny. You know, you have to laugh, keep from crying. But it was the first time that I had been the solo pastor, the senior pastor, ripe old age of 24 years old. I was the senior pastor of a church, you know, paradox of paradoxes. And it was God's sense of humor. At work, he's like, okay, I got a young, immature little pastor over here. Okay, hold on just one minute. And then I've got a young, immature little church over here. Okay, y'all hold on just a minute. So he put us together for about 13 months, and that was all the fun that we could either of us stand. And, you know, tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But it was one of those, but you know, you wonder yourself, you know, I've got lots of Bible background. I got lots of Bible skills. I've got lots of Bible learning. My degree was in Greek and Hebrew. So I knew I could bring a good message. But it's one of those things that you just wonder, am I doing the right thing? Should I? And there are tons of pastors today that are faced with the, you know, things are not going the way that they thought they would or should. And they're, victims of, the world, the flesh and the devil. And they're victims of people with egos and hang ups and, you know, so I was at that point that I'm like, am I doing the right thing? What should I do next? I've got to feed my family, so I know I'm going to have to go get a job because this little church cannot pay me enough. So that little situation, it's like, wow, you know, here I have invested 6-7 years in education, and now I've got to go do something other than, and come to find out it was really, I almost responded to the ministry as on the recommendations of those around me. Of course, I love God and I love people when I was, you know, in junior high and high school. So everybody says, oh, you love people and you can speak so good. I bet you're supposed to be a pastor. So I went to be a pastor, and I was a pastor. And I still am a pastor. I'm a pastor today. I mean, I've led many young men and women to Christ and have mentored many young women and men through our business activities over the years. And so in a great sense, I'm still a pastor. We're starting a home group here, focusing on outreach and street ministry. And I'll be a pastor of sorts to the end of my days. I speak, you know, every chance I get and teach in front of, teach the word in front of groups. But the real crossroads, part of the pain part of it was, well, you know, we may not be in a, actual pastoral role. And so, you know, that was sort of tough. But, you know, ultimately, our ministry has broadened, and I'm not comparing my ministry to a full-time pastor's ministry, because they've got, they need all the prayer support and all the church support that they can get around them. And I do a very active job of that with our pastors. But, as far as me personally, it's like, okay, well, Lord, if this door is closing, then I'm going to just follow you and do what I know my responsibilities are to feed my family. And we're very blessed and thankful to be here.
Well, what would you want the audience to learn from that experience? What's the big takeaway lesson that you would want to share from that experience?
Don't be afraid to close one door if God's opening another one. There's no reason to try to resurrect the dead when God can give birth to a new season in your life. And I didn't do anything wrong by going into the ministry, even though it was more influenced by men. And God certainly, you know, used us to bless some people, to teach people, and we were there for people while we were pastoring. But you may have giftings and abilities that are a little broader than the area that you're in right now. You may be locked in on a dumb job somewhere, and God's calling you to branch out. He may want to promote you. He may want you to give you an idea for a business. He may want you to be, he might be grooming you for something right now that you need to be prepared for a year or two from now. So don't be scared to go ahead and move forward. Don't cling to the past. Open the door and press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and let him do with and through you an exciting adventure. And that to me is fun every single day.
That is so true. And I took away from that as well the fact that, yeah, you know, the Bible teaches us that we should get, counsel, godly counsel from other people. But the final witness we need to get counsel from is the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. I don't remember the exact passage off the top of my head, but there's a story in the Old Testament about two prophets. And one of the prophets is told of God to go prophesy against, I think it was against Ahab. I'd have to go back and check. But he was sent to one of the Israeli kings to prophesy against him. And God had told that particular prophet, when you're done, don't go home the way you came. Go this other way. Well, he went past the house of another prophet. And the other prophet had invited him to come in and have dinner. And the prophet that God had sent to Ahab said, you know what? I got to keep on going. God told me to go this other way and not to stop. So he went ahead and kept going. Well, then the older prophet, the one who was already in town, sent word after him that actually God had told him for the new prophet, the younger prophet, to come back and have dinner. So at the behest and our understanding that God had given the word to this other older prophet, the new prophet, younger prophet, I should say, came back and had dinner. And at that dinner, God told the younger prophet through the mouth of the older prophet, since you didn't obey me, I'm going to kill you. And after dinner, the younger prophet went out and was torn apart by a lion. And the lesson I get there is this, you know, we should absolutely listen to the counsel of other people. But if the counsel of the other people doesn't match up with what the Lord is telling us in his spirit, remember, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and he speaks to us through that, then we need to follow what God's telling us to do, which is what you did. So many people make a bad career decision because other people say, you know, I think you'd be good at this. You should try this. If you know in your heart that that's not you, be willing to follow the Lord's leading. So great takeaways from that story. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I've got one more question for you, Herb, and this is a good one. So if you were sitting in, well, they were all good ones if you ask me, but this is a great one to end up on, I think. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the world to serve the Lord in their vocation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so let me clarify the question. I see that as a two-sided question. I see that application in two settings. Number one, if they were Christian high school students, I would say the same thing to both groups, but on a Christian setting, I would say, seek first the kingdom of God and be a strong student of the word, and he will guide you in the right steps. But in terms of, secular and Christian students, don't be in a rush just because somebody else tells you, oh, you need to go on to college now. Hey, if God may have time, you might need to take some time off and get some clarity. Don't go waste your parents' money or don't go waste your money, just because society says, go off to school. You got to go off to school. You got to go get a good degree. You got to go do this. You know, 80% of college students right now are not getting a job in their career field. And, part of that's because they're going off half cocked. You know, and if a Christian, student would really, you know, get focused on maybe if a Christian would seek, God's mind and try some opportunities, what would it be like to work for a few months? What would it be like to take a missions trip for a month? What would it be like to take a church intern job? What would it be like to, you know, to serve in this capacity? You know, the college will always be there for you to go back to. And, you know, don't get pressured into, either from your peers or from society. Don't get pressured into rushing off into something. I'm going to find myself when I get over there. Yeah, it's a very, very expensive lesson when in reality you may have, my girls, they're amazing business people, but one of them, got their, direction from she owns a salon and she went and got a degree in massage therapy and was self-employed there for a while. And then she went and got a beautician's degree and, she owns a very successful salon and makes residual income. And she has doesn't have what you'd call a traditional college, degree. My other daughter has 2.5 years of college, part of that being a focus on the family, and she owns a very successful company. Don't get caught in the mold and don't let society tell you what you need to do. You seek it out. And you get some people around you praying that love you and then let God lead you instead of society leading you.
Sage advice indeed. So Herb Heppley, thank you so much for being on the Career Callings radio program today and God bless you for your time with us.
It has been a real privilege. Thanks for asking.
You bet, man. Have a good one.
And we are sadly out of time for this edition of Career Callings Radio. If you'd like to get a copy of today's broadcast, plus all the bonus material that you can only get on the podcast version of this broadcast, go to careercallings.net/radio. You can learn in the bonus section what books Herb Heppley recommends that you read. Also, his number one productivity tool, his biggest strength, his biggest weakness, and other great insightful material that we could just not pack into this 30-minute broadcast. Be sure to go to careercallings.net/radio and get it all. God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings. audibletrial.com/careercallings.
faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us about it.
Yes. Well, I haven't had many direct confrontations. Nobody calling me out in front of a crowd. I got to thinking about that when you mentioned that might be one of the questions. But I always have faced challenges in terms of, should I say something or shouldn't I? And it should I be bold? If I say something bold, will it risk this this deal, this business deal? Will it risk this relationship? And there have been times that I've sort of just wimped out that I should not have, because it was obviously the Holy Spirit, you know, urging me to say something, and then I just chickened out. That kind of challenge I've dealt with a lot more so than somebody saying you're a fool to believe, because, you know, when people don't generally confront joy, you know, I'm a very joyful person, and I'm easygoing, and people don't really, I don't guess they feel the need to call me out about that, but I really do. I'm now much more focused and much more effective at sharing my faith boldly, because I know that there are people's lives on the line. And if the Holy Spirit's urging me to say something or to, you know, share his love or to pray for someone, well, there's a very important reason, and I need to go ahead and let him take care of the end result of the conversation.
What was it that kind of made you or enabled you to make that switch from wimping out more often than not to being more bold to share your faith? Anything in particular?
Yeah, part of it just growing in, growing up, you know, in maturing. But I tell you, I've read the New Testament about 8 or 10 times in the last year and a half. And every time I read through there, I see normal guys, regular people speaking up, sharing what they knew, sharing what they'd experienced, and God blessed it. You know, whether it was for an individual or a crowd, Jesus being the lead example there, just speaking what was on the Father's mind and the Father's heart, knowing he wasn't going to be accepted, knowing he was going to die on the cross and he was going to be killed because of what he stood for and what he came to provide for us. You know, even over in the Hebrews, it talks about, here's the list of people that walked in faith, and some of them experienced persecution, some of them faced death, some of them faced famine, some of them faced this. Says, but they were all diligent just to speak God's heart, speak God's love, and the Lord ultimately took it and made good out of it, but it was their place and their time to share their faith and to be bold. So I think more growing up, but also really being in the Word more lately, has boldened my faith and given me a completely different perspective on that.
Well, I tell you what, there's so many takeaways I could pull from that, but the first one that comes to mind is this. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. How do you get the fruit of the Spirit? Well, we're all given it at some level when we get saved, but for it to manifest itself in our lives, we have to be building our relationship with the Lord. And the more we feed that relationship with the Lord, the more the fruit of the Spirit will automatically come out of us exhibit from us. And the less we spend time with the Lord and the more we feed our worldly sinful nature, we'll be less likely to do that. So that's a big takeaway for me, because you just exemplified that. And another
one, I'll go exactly the same way.
Yeah. And another one is just to remember that our work is our mission field. You don't have to be going to the jungles of somewhere to be a missionary. Everybody's a missionary right where you are. And there are people that Herb Epley and Robbie Romeiser and whoever's listening to this program, wherever you work today, there are going to be people you can reach that your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, will, your favorite missionary will never, ever touch, but you will. And, you know, we need to be mindful and be reminded, as Herb just reminded us, that, you know what, we have an obligation and a privilege to consider the people we work with our mission field, and we should act accordingly. Let's be positive for a minute. We've been talking about the bad stuff. Let's talk about some good stuff. What would you say is your best career moment?
Well, I knowing that I, when I started that company that I sold to my daughter, whenever I realized that I'd really heard from God and that he really opened the door for me, that was so reassuring because that was something I knew that only he could do. And when God does move something in your life, you know he loves you. You know he cares. You know he's involved. And that was so encouraging to me at that point because I was so burdened down by those financial, that all that debt and stuff. There have been other times more recently as well. I know that I have been led into these activities and financial services, the insurance services, because I know it's going to be a tremendous flow of finances into the kingdom. And that's very gratifying to me because it's only something that the Lord could do and the connections. Each day when I sit down at my desk, I realize I really, there's so much that can be done and so little can come of it unless God is in it. So I make myself spend an hour or so in the Word in the morning and prayer and commit my day to Him. And if things don't go the way that I wanted them to, I feel committed to Him because He knew what was going on from the beginning. And, these victories, these daily victories, that they add up to weekly victories, and the weekly victories add up to monthly victories. Very seldom hit any home runs. You know, it's all just, let's make today count for God and for my family. Let's make tomorrow count. Well, it's been a good week, and let's add up 52 weeks together to make a great year for the Lord. And, you know, always progress is made, either financially or spiritually or both. But we always win when we keep ourselves in his hands, and all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we just try to, whenever things go bad, I trust him. But whenever things go good, I know that I'm following close. And to me, that's very gratifying.
Absolutely. You know, in order to be successful in our career calling and do what the Lord wants us to do, we need to become very aware of our weaknesses and our strengths. So yep. Tell us, Herb Epley, what is your biggest weakness in the workplace that prevents you from doing or accomplishing what God has called you to do?
Trying to do too much. Trying to commit. I used to commit to way more things than I could really be effective at. And so-and-so brings me a good idea or a good opportunity or a good ministry to be involved with. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. And you can launch off into it, but if you don't stick to it, you're not effective and you end up, you know, with a disappointment, and that sort of bruises your get up and go for the next time around. So I do have a tendency to get overcommitted. I just more recently now have learned how to say thanks, but no thanks to, opportunities and to really get focused on the ones that I know that God's brought to me. There's a ton of great causes that I could give money to, but I know that I have certain ones that are have been brought to me sovereignly that I need to really focus and buckle down and then take on more giving opportunities as time goes on. So just slow down and not chasing every rabbit that runs, I guess is the way to say it.
I kind of summarize that lesson through this takeaway we've all heard before. Sometimes the good becomes the enemy of the best. And we just have to learn to say no to the good and say yes to the best. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
On the flip side, what would you say is your biggest strength in the workplace pursuing God's calling?
Connecting with people. I can generally, there's several good books, Personality Plus, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Bringing Out the Best in People. There's a variety of great books and great authors that can teach you how to relate to people where they're at. I don't make people get on my level. I perceive where they are. I perceive what type of personality they have. And I, because I've read these books, I know how to talk their language. I know how to relate to them where they're at. And you know, you never get it right and you still run across impossible people, but I generally am able to connect and relate to and establish some type of a friendship or relationship in most situations.
Well, that just goes to show sometimes you're, you know, even with your strengths, even though you may have the raw natural God-given ability to connect with people, you can always improve upon your strengths through study and discipline, which is what reading books like How to Win Friends and Influence People does for a person. So, you know, we never need to take for granted that our strengths are always going to be, our strengths don't need any work. They always need work to even become stronger, just like you have to lift weights to get stronger with your muscles. And it also goes to show that if you're not the type of person who naturally is vivacious, maybe you're a little bit shy, nothing wrong with trying to shore up that weakness a little bit by reading books like How to Win Friends and Influence People. That is a great read, and I'm glad you shared that. Now, has there ever been a time in your life when God directed you down a particular career path, made you aware that you were supposed to be doing a particular thing for Him, and you were resistant? You just didn't want to go down that path, or maybe you just didn't think that it made sense for you to go down that path. Have you ever had a time like that?
When you mentioned that question earlier, I can't remember that one in particular, because I've always been a running and gunning, Harlem Globetrotter, baby. I don't play zone defense. I'm a Harlem Globetrotter. I'll just go make it happen. But I've tried not to resist, and whenever I felt the prompting, because it generally had it had opportunity written on it, so I was always willing to embrace, especially if I felt He was taking me there. But I can't say that that I really the uncomfortable things that the discipline that is involved in the mundane type things that I've always had, because that's a part of disciplining the flesh and taking authority over your schedule and the time management and that kind of stuff. That part, I know the Lord has said, you're really going to tighten up on this over here. And I'm like, well, I really want to watch Bonanza right now.
That's right.
That kind of thing goes with my personality and, more in the daily disciplines rather than the big career path stuff for me in that question.
I got you. Fair enough. Well, I'm a big fan of a book called Great by Choice by Jim Collins and Morton Hansen. I've mentioned it many times on the program before, and I'm sure I will do so for a long time to come. It's one of the best business books I've ever read. And the whole question they were trying to answer is this: in good times and in bad, particularly in bad times, what makes some companies thrive while others die the death or struggle very, very much? And in that book, they indicated that one of the things that successful companies do, even the ones that thrive in times of adversity, is they have something called durable operating practices that keep them on mission when the world around them is falling apart. Can you share one durable operating practice from the life of Herb Epley, or if I can say it this way, one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that has been, that you would identify as having been a major contributor to achieving God's career callings in your life?
I don't know of anybody out there that has, that can say they ever lost money by doing business with Herb Epley. Now, there have been a couple of times that things didn't get paid as quickly as I had hoped, especially when it came to those property investments. And there are brothers that I, stepped over the line and made a promise and couldn't keep it. And that, I'm deeply regret, but I have rectified all that and made that good. But the core value of integrity, that when Herb says something, it's going to be done. Even if it costs me money, it's going to be done. Even if it's going to inconvenience me, it can be done. It's going to be done. If Herb tells you, then you don't have to wonder whether it's a shady deal or questionable or if it's or anything of that nature. It's something that's going to be real. It's going to be true. And if it falls apart, if it's not right, Herb's going to make it right. That is a core value that has kept us above water. There have been times that I've certainly could have taken a shortcut, could have declared bankruptcy, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not saying anything negative about people that have to declare bankruptcy. It wasn't for me, but I know it's a viable option. I know it's a sometimes necessary option. No condemnation there. But for me, I could have taken an easy route, but knowing that it would damage my testimony and it would damage my reputation, I made sure that I did not step out of those bounds. Now, if there is anyone that says, well, Bull, you know, I lost this and this on you, I would love to know it. There's one investment deal right now that we're trying to sell, and we're going to figure out how to do that within the next 6 to 12 months. But those guys are not going to lose any money either. We got one property left that we got to get rid of. But still, if a company has core values, and I'm now in collaboration let me do an endorsement. There is an organization in the upstate all across South Carolina, the South Carolina Christian Chamber of Commerce, that has put me in contact and close proximity with some of the most dynamic, world-changing business owners that I've ever been around. These men, they have huge businesses, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of revenue that those companies do, and those men do it by the book. And it is such an inspiration to me to continue being a successful businessman, but never compromising, putting the kingdom of God first, and God will take care of everything else. Matthew 6:33 has become my number one motto. And when I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing things the right way, his way, then he takes care of everything else. That separates real Christian companies from non-Christian companies, but even non-Christian companies that operate with integrity and honesty and strong values, have a strong foundation, they will make it if they adhere to and do the right thing. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And you can follow certain principles even if you're an unbeliever. You can follow principles that are biblical principles. You will have good results. And especially when God's people walk by the word, talk by the word, live by the word, operate by the word, God's going to make sure that it's blessed.
I tell you what, it boils down to building trust by being a person of your word. What a novel concept, yep. Right? Novel concept.
Yeah, oh my.
Oh, goodness.
Yep.
Well, next, let me ask you this, Herb. Share a productivity tip. And that could be an internet tool, like one of my favorites, which is Evernote. It could be a quote that you rely on. It could be a routine of some kind. But share a productivity tip that enables you to put forth your very best effort in your career.
What has made a dramatic difference in my productivity? I've been in business for 30 years, and there were times in my activities that I'm like, hey, I got this. I got this figured out. It's all predictable. I can do X plus Y, and it will equal Z. And it's a formula and blah, blah, blah. And I've approached business, I've approached life, relationships and everything that way, and ended up either as a miserable failure or as a so-so, you know, an average success. But lately, in terms of having success in my relationship with my wife, with my children, with my grandchildren, in our ministry opportunities through our church, and especially in business, I have finally gotten myself in the habit at the very first thing in the morning, I get up, I get my glass of water, and then I go and spend about an hour in the Word. No matter how early I have to get up, which isn't terribly early, you know, these days, but no matter how early I have to get up, I need to go spend that time and let the Holy Spirit bring the Word alive in my mind and clear the worry out, clear out the confusion, and then let him guide me, bless me, give me the ideas, give me the connections. Because, you know, a lot of things that we have in life, they're out of our control. You can't control whether somebody shows up for an appointment. You can't control whether your car is going to break down. You can't control whether your children are going to be happy. You know, these are things that we have to sort of give and take and be prepared for. But if I'm in God's Word first thing in the morning and I give Him that time, that sort of sets the tone for the rest of the day. And no matter if things go good or bad, I can flow with it. I can laugh with it. And He steps in and brings, you know, good things out of seemingly bad. But it's a tremendous faith builder, and therefore it's my number one productivity tool. Now, I like, you know, the technologies. I'm learning all these technologies. You know, I'm almost 60, so I wasn't born in the technology age. But and all that's been very helpful. And I still use a card file. You know, it's a funny thing. Just a good old 4x6 card, and I have it over there, and that's where I keep up with all my customers. But as far as a productivity tool is getting in the Word and letting Him get first part of my attention and my time and my focus on that.
That's fantastic. Now, if you're listening today, I just hope you realize that's, you know, that is a businessman telling you that. That's not your pastor of your church. It just goes to show you that it's real life application of the Word of God. You build your relationship with the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life, and that will enable you to better interact with your day. Fantastic productivity tip. Other than the Bible, I think it's safe to say every Christian would recommend the Bible as the number one book anybody ought to read. But outside of the Bible, what would be one book you would recommend for our listeners?
Well, the people that I've always been respected in terms of mentoring me, my early days in business, Out the Best in People by Alan Loy McGinnis. It's about...
What was the title again, Herb?
Just Bringing Out the Best in People.
Gotcha.
It's a relationship book, and it's based on, you know, biblical principles. Mr. McGinnis was a Christian, and he definitely... you see that whenever you read this book. So I learned a lot of my foundational skills there, what... You know, you relate to people on how... What matters most to them? You know, they're not fully, totally, completely sold out about what matters to you. They're sold out what matters to them. So why not get on their side of the table and help them, you know, relate to them and see if you guys have a match there. But beyond that, even beyond that book, because that was formative during my formative years, but even more than just a single book, an author that has changed my world and is changing millions of people's lives is John Maxwell. Basically, mm-hmm. Anything that I can get hold of by John Maxwell, I have a whole shelf of John Maxwell books and periodically get back into those because, you know, sold out believer, world changer, quite the businessman, but the principles that he has, I listen to him on all 3 months. I read his books and continuously try to collect new stuff from him. You definitely cannot go wrong with any one of those John Maxwell books.